This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of The Zeoli Show. Do us a favor, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, and tell your friends. Come on, I got kids to feed. College isn't going to pay for itself, you know? Thanks for listening.
Rich Zeoli Show Podcast.
The State of the Union Address will now be Tuesday, February 5th, and the question will be, will Democrats give in to any of the president's demands on the border? Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 and on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it very, very much. Let me just quickly share with you an article today from the editorial board at the Wall Street Journal regarding a New Jersey, the tax credits for phantom jobs. An audit of New Jersey's business incentives makes for grim reading. I just want to point something out to you, and this is a thing with government, whether it's on the state or federal level. Government crony capitalism, when they give out money, and they do this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to share this little tidbit for you. Over roughly half a decade, New Jersey's Economic Development Authority has approved, though mostly not yet paid out, $10.9 billion in tax incentives tied to 164,000 new jobs and 80,000 retained jobs. But key internal controls were lacking or non-existent for the monitoring and oversight of recipient performance. As a glaring example, the Development Authority relied on jobs figures provided by the businesses receiving tax credits without verifying the data. One company won $29 million in incentives even as its statewide employment actually declined during the award performance period. Another company didn't submit timely annual reports, and the state didn't notice until alerted by the comptroller's office. A third hired six individuals in the last 2 weeks of its reporting period, presumably to meet the number of employees required by its award agreement. The tax credit programs are scheduled to sunset this summer, and Senate President Steve Sweeney has pledged to improve accountability but seems happy otherwise. There's nothing in that report that said the legislation was bad. It was enforcement within the agency that was bad. $270 million new state venture capital fund is what they want to propose now. An entirely new $270 million state venture capital fund. You wonder why people are moving out of the state of New Jersey in record numbers. Honestly, it's amazing to me. It really, truly is. Okay, let's see here now. Speaking of New Jersey, a restaurant owner was shocked by an anti-immigrant message allegedly written on the receipt. All right, now we have a little bit of audio for you. And I, you know my theory on this. This is BS. This is BS. Do these things ever happen? No, they never happen. They're never real. They're never, ever, ever real. Ever, never, never. Never say never. Well, I'm saying never, and they're never real. These things never happen. You know why? Because racists don't write things on the bottom of receipts. If you're going to stiff somebody, you're going to act like it's an accident. You're not going to write your racism on a receipt. You know, you don't do these things. Nobody does this. Nobody who really is anti-immigrant or is a racist or a homophobe or anything wants to call attention to themselves by writing it on a receipt. Nobody does that. Now, you might stiff somebody because they gave you bad service. You might forget the tip. You might leave cash. But anyway, take a listen to the report from 6ABC.
Three words and a mouthful of hate. Don't tip immigrants. Lorena Bossi was closing at Under the Moon restaurant in Bordentown last Thursday. She tells Action News she was waiting on a couple who was eating dessert and thought everything was fine until she says she began speaking to another employee.
I spoke Spanish to him and I thanked him because he was helping me clean up because he doesn't have to do that. It was so weird that they had just transitioned from loving me as a person to all of a sudden, oh, she speaks Spanish, she must be an immigrant. Let's leave.
It's totally unacceptable. It's hurtful. It's mean. It's not needed.
As an immigrant himself and a self-made entrepreneur, Santiago Orozco was so disturbed by what unfolded. He posted this now viral message on Facebook saying this type of behavior won't be tolerated at his restaurant.
Immigrants are a huge part of our country and our society, you know, and one of the reasons why I'm doing this is because I want to stand up to whoever thinks like that and show them another side of the immigration.
Ironically, Bossy is a second-generation American. Her family is from Uruguay and grew up here speaking two languages and holds no malice towards the couple for what she calls ignorant behavior.
If the couple does return, I'm going to continue to be the kind person I am, and I will treat them with just the same service as I did the first time, because I'm not going to let somebody's hate fill my heart with hate, because that's not how I was raised.
Now, that couple paid cash for their dessert, and apparently this was their first time at the restaurant, but if they were to return, like you heard Lorena say, she would still be just as kind.
Hmm. Interesting. And apparently there's no security footage either. And they paid cash. Go figure. Wow. That's remarkable. There's no evidence of anything. That's just shocking to me. Let me explain a couple things so everybody knows. First of all, I've been to Under the Moon in their Lambertville location many times. So, does anyone think in our area you don't see people that speak Spanish? Like, is this?
I mean,
does anyone think that this is a rare occurrence? We go, oh, are they? That person over there speaking Espanol? Like, what the hell? How are we supposed to believe that two people are going to be sitting at a restaurant in Bordentown, New Jersey, by the way? Have you ever been in Bordentown?
Yeah.
All right. So now two people are sitting at a restaurant, and they're going to hear a dishwasher speak Spanish.
Yep.
And go, heavens to Betsy! I've never heard such language. And then get it, because they're so flummoxed. Because they've never heard this before in our area. Who's going to believe that is their baseline of reasoning? Number one.
Oh, because she could have learned Spanish in high school. The schools start teaching it in like kindergarten. So that's what struck me.
A very good point. In other words, you don't have to necessarily be an illegal immigrant.
No.
To speak Spanish.
Most high schools and colleges require 3 years of some language. It's usually Spanish.
I took 5 years of it. I can say four things because I'm a terrible student, but I took 5 years of it.
See?
So if I were saying something in Spanish, would the couple get up and leave?
Yes.
Like, how dare? All right. So we're supposed to believe
start
now.
Speaking now.
There you go. Right.
The Zioli army or somebody will leave you or something.
So we're supposed to believe that these people went to a restaurant owned by Santiago Orozco, heard somebody speaking Spanish and got up and left, though paid cash, but took the time to write, "We don't tip immigrants," on the back of the check. Okay. Does anyone believe this story?
No.
Does anyone believe this story? Dan, you're shaking your head. Give me your thoughts on this, Dan.
I don't believe it at all, and I question how common it is for somebody to ask their wife to pull a pen out of their purse to write this on a receipt. Just go further.
Honey, I gotta trash me some immigrants. Can I borrow your pen?
If you're paying in cash, you don't get the pen from the waitress.
Good point. Very good point. They might have a pen. I gotta trash these here immigrants. The Spanish-speaking types. Who's got a pen? Greg, do you believe the story?
Absolutely not.
Tell me why, Greg.
Because you and I have been on the air a long time together, and we've had probably a dozen of these stories, probably more, and not one has ever proven to be true. So I'm playing my odds and saying that this one is also not true.
KYW has a report. They say, unfortunately, the racism right now, because of the world we live in, is a little more out there. But it's not acceptable by any means. Can I ask an honest question? The racism that we're all seeing now that's gripping us and gripping New Jersey, that's gripping Bordentown, New Jersey, and the Under the Moon Cafe, that's gripping all of us in the way. So when these people come in, do you ask them to check their white hats or do you let them wear it during dinner? Sir, would you like to keep that burning cross? We have a burning cross section, sir. You can just put it right over there. Sorry, you're pointy white hats, though, and we don't allow masks in the restaurant right now. No. We've got to move that to the side here. I got to write, "Don't tip immigrants," on this here piece of paper. Who's got a pen? Any of you people speak English? Nope. Damn it to hell. First time in the restaurant. Now, this is amazing, too. It's their first time in the restaurant. So how do they know that? Were they chatty, the couple? Mm. Or is it just that they've never seen them before in the restaurant, Dawn? I'm curious about that. When you go out to dinner, do you ever talk to the people that serve you dinner? Do you ever do that?
Yeah.
How you doing? That sort of thing. Sure. You make conversation with them. Greg, sure. Do you ever make conversation with people when
absolutely.
You go out to dinner? You know, you ever chat with them? And then you say, oh, this is our first time at the restaurant
here.
It's our first
time here.
First time here. And you start talking. Yep. Now, if you have a conversation with people, are you more likely or less likely to write racist things on the back of a check, knowing that they can probably identify you to potentially your employer, your customers, your children, your community members, the news? Other people. Like, I'm thinking, maybe if you're the guy sitting there in the hat, the hat's ducked down and you're sitting by yourself and they come over and they go, sir, would you like more coffee? You go, and you just kind of like grunt.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, I haven't said a word. Can't identify my voice. And I've been tucked here in the shadow of this hat. Now I can do it. I don't tip you, you people and your kind. They'll never recognize me as they walk out the door. Johnny, is that you? But if you're having a conference, if you're engaged in conversation, yeah, it's our first time here. What a lovely restaurant. It's our first time here. You think she'll remember us when we write, we don't tip immigrants on the bill on our way out the door? But they remembered you enough to say it was your first time at the restaurant. And they're not going to give any identifying characteristics out to the media because this didn't really happen, you see.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. 855-839-1210. Yes.
And they were being perfectly nice to this woman until she started speaking Spanish, and then that triggered her into you know, nope, we can't tip. We can't tip.
Yeah, at that very moment, they suddenly turned into Jekyll and Hyde. At that moment, they went, I don't think so. Not in my world. Yes, Storm, were you going to say something?
But the media, you know, rewards this behavior. So if, you know, the owner of the restaurant perhaps is completely, you know, let's just say the theory's right. But think about if you're a server or waiter and you want attention and you want to be like a social justice warrior and
right.
feel good about yourself, you tell your boss, look at this, boss.
Mm-hmm.
And then the media rewards it. It's all over. Another story on it just aired on 6ABC. It's all over.
It's all over, right?
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
It's gone viral.
It's gone viral, Dawn. Yes, Greg.
And everybody's talking about the Over the Moon restaurant in Bordentown, New Jersey.
Ah.
Yeah, are they talking about the Under the Moon restaurant, too, or just the Over the Moon?
Oh, sorry.
Now, here's my question to you as well. I'd like to ask this. Now, if you are somebody who is the kind of person who will write, I don't tip immigrants, are you more likely or less likely to go to a place that has the following on the menu? Tortilla Española, patatas bravas, quesela de queso.
Oh, sounds delicious.
Tapas flights, gambas al ajillo, chorizo and brandy. In other words, it's all freaking Spanish food, for God's sake.
The fact there would be no Spanish people working there.
Right. So logic dictates that if you go to a place like this and there's all kinds of food that's Spanish, I would hope to God somebody's speaking Spanish. Because if I go in there and people go, how y'all doing? All our food's from Kentucky. I make my octopus just like my mama taught me back in Kentucky. I'd be like, I'm out of here. I want authentic, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So you know it's good. You're making us hungry.
Manchego. They have albondigas, Dawn, which are Spanish meatballs in marinara sauce, a shaved Parmesan, all right? So now, so you come to this restaurant to eat all this Spanish food.
Delicious.
You hear a Spanish accent, and at that moment you go, wait a minute, is this Spanish food we're eating? Is that an immigrant? Give me a pen. I'm writing something racist on this. Boom, and I'm out. Yeah, this makes a whole lot of sense. Does it not? This makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see. Anthony's in Washington Township. Anthony, are you buying this?
No, I'm not. Thanks for taking my call. Great job as always, man.
You got it.
I just heard the clip now that you just played, and from what I gather from it, it sounded like they still waited till after the dessert was finished before they got up and left. So I guess it wasn't that bad.
Right. They were outraged, but not that outraged, because the dessert menu looked divine.
in Spanish too, and then they finished dessert and then they left.
The Spanish dessert options looked delicioso.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, thanks, Anthony. Appreciate it, bud. Frank is in Malvern. Frank, what's up, bud?
Rich, man, I heard they had MAGA hats on, too, and they're from a Catholic school in Kentucky last time I checked. I'm pretty sure. Dude, total BS. They want to get on Ellen. They want to get on Good Morning America. That's the plan, and they're going to be – it's going to work. You watch. They'll be on probably – I say Wednesday.
Wednesday? Wednesday's a prediction?
Wait. That's my prediction.
Yes, yep, Dawn.
GMA Wednesday.
GMA Wednesday? Dawn, go ahead.
But I think this food looks good.
It
Do
does.
You think that if Zioli – if you had them on, would they bring some food? Because it looks really good.
Dawn's starving right now, Frank. She hasn't eaten all day.
I'm dieting. I'm starving.
Starving.
They don't.
You don't even feed your employees. Come on.
It's horrible here. I don't feed them none of this Spanish food, all right? We eat American food here. All right, Frank.
Like pizza.
That's right. Like pizza. Exactly. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Cuban style food. That's my favorite.
Cuban?
Yes.
What are you Castro loving commies? I don't eat no Cuban food.
Best food. I bet
I
they
do.
Have
I love Cuban food. Dawn is literally starving.
I know.
She's salivating right now. You hear this? The sounds over there. My gosh.
Her newscast is going to be all, you know, what's on the menu.
Ready, Dawn?
Homemade flan.
Tortilla Española. Oh. Spanish style potato pancake. Wait a minute.
This is torture.
Are they speaking Spanish back there? What the hell kind of place did you bring me to? This is crazy. Do you know how they signed it, Dawn?
How? Uh-oh.
Deplorable MAGA hat wearing guy. That's how they signed it on the receipt. It's amazing. This hatred spreading. I have a feeling that the owners of this cafe have a hate has no home here sign in their restaurant.
You think?
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
I think it's a great assumption.
Yeah. So, yes, Dawn.
I'll be honest. I don't care. This food looks so good. I would go there.
No, the food's really good.
Yeah. You've been there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been there with all my MAGA-ness, and first of all, I always tip. The only time I don't tip, if I wasn't going to tip, by the way, I would not write something hateful and racist.
Right, but it makes you want to, especially if you wear your MAGA hat, you want to make sure that you tip on your credit card so nobody could claim anything about you.
Well, this is the problem that I run into sometimes. As a former server, I try to tip in cash whenever I can because the government has a set thing and how they tip you. So if you want to go overboard and give somebody a really nice tip, I think cash is always king and they appreciate it. But in this day and age now, I'm very fearful of that fact because of the fact that I could just, if somebody knows who I am, you could get them on the whole, write something on the back.
That's
I don't tip short, fat Italians. Go ahead. But he is one. He's a self-loathing short fat Italian. But so that's what I mean. So I'm very conscious of that now, and I'm getting nervous about that. So I've decided now that, because in the old days, what I used to do is if I was going to tip in cash, I would just do a line under the tip, right? I would just blot it out. But now that's easy for them to write something next to it.
It is.
You know,
I
don't tip gays or something like that, right? The cash, then they would easily write, I don't give gay people cash, right next to your cash. Oh, you see what I mean?
I see, yeah.
So I think it must be better just to just do a credit card, to Dawn's point, and then you have empirical evidence, or take a picture of it or a video or something. Clearly, though,
crazy.
This restaurant is the only restaurant in America that doesn't have a security footage.
It's true.
It's amazing.
Well, they should have a security camera. I wonder if they do.
It wasn't working that day.
Oh.
It just happened to not be working that day, Dawn. It's remarkable.
They had to turn the tape over and they forgot.
Jose is in North Philly. He'd like to comment. Yes, Jose.
Yo, Rich, I'm sorry, man, but we're going to have to, like, the albondigas that you just say, you slaughtered meatballs for Spanish people all over, man. I was having to argue, like, albondigas. That was bad, dude. Like, for real.
Can you believe I took 5 years of Spanish? I'm the worst. It's awful. It's terrible.
Be good, you guys.
All right. Thank you, Jose. Thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry to appropriate your culture. Apologize. This is, and our friend Cranky sent me this. A reminder. Another New Jersey story. This is from 2013. New Jersey server leaves restaurant after a tipping hoax. This was from the Gallup Asian Bistro. Dana Morales parts ways with the Gallup Asian Bistro after the couple in question denied writing, quote, "I cannot tip because I do not agree with your lifestyle," on a receipt in lieu of a tip. Turns out Morales had lied about a bunch of things, the exact nature of her military service, the fact that she wasn't really donating money that she received from well-wishers. And then the restaurant launched an internal investigation, and then they fired her after she made the whole thing up. But the couple came forward and said, "This is BS. Like, we didn't do this. Because you know why? Because nobody does this. That's why. Because people aren't as hate-filled as you think they are. And the ones that are hate-filled aren't going out to dinner. And if they are going out to dinner, they're not taking the time to go, "I got to write my hate on a receipt." Like, this doesn't happen. This doesn't freaking happen ever. It never happens. You can never point to me an instance where it turned out to be true. Gallup Asian Beast Show is now permanently closed. Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Dan, for that point. So anyway, I guess my other question is, will the people at Fake Moon, will they now launch an investigation? No, because they're getting all the media. Because all the Philly media is running over there with all their heartache stories.
Right.
Every one of them.
And everybody then looks at the menu and goes, "Oh."
Yeah, it's just, while I'm here, I'm going to, you know.
Better investigate this situation.
Alan says, "Rich, I'm going to take a guess here and say what really happened was the couple did not give her a tip, but they didn't write anything on the receipt. What got written on the receipt was in retaliation for them not leaving a tip." That's possible. Yes. Maybe they forgot, or maybe they didn't leave a good tip.
Yeah, because they just had dessert, so that they have homemade desserts. They're $8. I know. Look at these. So
does your family not feed you?
I was just gonna say. Good God.
No, I'm just dieting. So the homemade desserts are $8. So they probably bring the plate, and the people probably left $10. And she probably thought, "Oh, that's crummy." You know.
Yeah, or maybe they forgot. Sometimes that happens to people. They forget to tip, or maybe they didn't leave enough, or maybe they did, and the waitress thought, "Well, here's my chance to." Who knows why people do these things? I don't know. There was no reason for that New Jersey server to do that thing that time in at the Gallup Asian Bistro. She just wanted to get some attention for herself. Yeah. People are crazy, but you know what I do? What I write on my receipt stone is this: I go, "I don't tip you people. Sincerely, MAGA." That's what I do. That's how I write it. Just in general. 855-839-1210.
No, señor. No, señor.
That's what I do. I'm not tipping. I scream that as I walk out. And then I go, "MAGA!" Boom. And I whip my MAGA hat at somebody. And I walk out.
You would never wear a MAGA hat out, would you?
No, God, no. You kidding me? I don't do anything outside of here. I don't want to know who I am when I go out.
Well, for fear of being a targeted victim.
There's too many crazy people out there. Yeah. Someone gave me a look the other day at the train station like they knew me. Because I get recognized a lot more nowadays, which is nice when it's a member of the Zioli Army. It's great.
Because Entercom made a viral video. You're in it. Did you see it? It's a nice video.
Is my nose red? Is it all red?
No, you look good.
Somebody recognize my red nose. But Dawn, there's too many nuts out there. The crazy people out there. You know,
like we're gonna hurt somebody.
We are gonna come up with Zioli Army t-shirts. Evil Jared's working on the logo.
Eagle Scout.
And we are gonna come up with that very, very soon.
Come up with the logo already?
I know, but corporate's gotta approve it and all kinds of things.
The logo was come up 6 months ago. We came up with it.
Here's a shirt. It's gonna say, "We don't tip," and on the back it's gonna list all the groups we hate. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing of groups that we hate. Just make it easier when you go out to dinner.
See, it'll have bubble wrap that's actually bulletproof.
I like that. Bulletproof. Oh, did you see that Kevlar backpacks are now on sale?
Yes.
You're definitely buying those for your kids.
You betcha.
100%.
Yes.
I'm definitely buying them, too. I just think it's awesome. Kevlar backpacks.
Yeah, it'd be like Batman.
Hell yeah.
Very cool.
I would dress my kid in Kevlar if
absolutely.
I could. I mean, I don't think anything's going to happen. I just think it's awesome to dress in Kevlar.
The problem is the boys will be in the back shooting. They'll shoot the backpacks with, like, pellet guns.
Of course they will.
They have to make sure.
Because they're boys, and it's what they do. And they go, "Let's see how bulletproof this thing really is." And then, sadly, some knucklehead's going to try and do something stupid. Yeah. Is what's, you know. Now, you know who's not woke is Tom Brokaw.
Uh-oh. Poor Tom.
Tom Brokaw's not woke. NBC's Tom Brokaw's in hot water, Dawn. I don't know if you heard this or not, but he was discussing, take a listen.
And a lot of this we don't want to talk about, but the fact is, on the Republican side, a lot of people see the rise of an extraordinary, important new constituency in American politics, Hispanics, who will come here and all be Democrats. Also, I hear when I push people a little harder, I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies. I mean, that's also a part of it. It's the intermarriage that is going on.
Stop. Who has ever said, I don't want brown grandbabies? Who is... this is, again, another fake thing that nobody ever says. Nobody has ever said, I don't want brown grandbabies.
Because everybody just wants grandbabies.
Exactly. Nobody's ever said that.
But I do. Do you remember the famous? It was George Bush Sr. And he said, and my beautiful brown grandbabies. Remember that? And everybody cringed. But he meant it endearingly.
Lovingly.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, again, this is another stereotype hoax thing where people go around. Darling, I'd love for you to marry him. He's successful. He's great. But I just don't want no brown grandbabies. Making our picture all brown grandbaby-ish. They're little brown coolies in our bathtub. Otherwise, he's perfect. Nobody ever thinks this way. All right, go ahead.
Grandbabies.
Back up a little.
I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies. I mean, that's also a part of it. It's the intermarriage that is going on and the cultures that are conflicting with each other. I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. That's one of the things I've been saying for a long time. You know, that they ought not to be just codified in their communities, but make sure that all of their kids are learning to speak English and that they feel comfortable in the communities. And that's going to take outreach on both sides, frankly.
So he's in hot water over saying that they should learn how to speak English and learn how to assimilate.
The kids do. The kids all go to school and they translate for their grandparents and parents.
So he's in trouble.
No,
Tom Brokaw's not woke.
He had to do an apology on Twitter.
He did. He had to apologize for that.
Of course.
I'm so sorry that I said that people need to assimilate more. I'm so sorry that I don't mean to use learn English, but I'm so sorry.
The good thing is nobody understood what he said.
Yeah, that's it. Right, somebody first had to translate what he said, and then they had to translate his apology. He started to apologize. They're like, can you just tweet it? Honestly, nobody knows what the hell you're saying anyway.
Nobody says, have your assistant tweet it out.
Nobody wants brown grandbaby.
I don't know whether I want brown grandbaby.
I don't know if I want that.
I don't know. I think he's a little out of touch.
You think?
A little bit.
You're right. They just want grandbabies. You're right.
Just want grandbabies.
That's all grandparents want is just more grandkids.
Yeah, because people are having kids later or they're not having kids at all. Certain people.
I don't want to lose brown.
I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies.
Nobody says that.
It's never been said in the history of the world. Because then I have to take them out and nut tip brown people who serve me food at restaurants. I would tip you, but I don't tip brown people. I don't tip brown people. How did that guy do the nightly news for all those years? You can't understand a freaking word the guy says. I don't understand how he, all those years, did that job. Explain that to me, Dawn. Speaking a prerequisite for doing the news?
I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation.
But he's handsome. He even still now is very debonair.
Does this get my brown side? I don't know anything. I'm brown. This don't make my newscaster brown. I call Lester Holt. Lester, nobody wants to be brown. What? What are you saying? State of the Union address has been rescheduled for the 5th of February, and the president, of course, has said now he's going to get his wall one way or the other, and that's good because he needs to get the wall. Yeah, this is interesting to me. You know, a number of people have said the president's going to be primaried in 2020. I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening at all. The RNC voted to give him support ahead of 2020. That was a big move over the weekend. And in response to that now, the Democrats are all realizing that with a unified Republican Party and, potentially Howard Schultz running as an independent, they might be in some real trouble. Howard Schultz, the Starbucks CEO, who makes really bad overpriced coffee and doesn't let people use their restroom without buying something, except when he does, and now Starbucks is all filled with apparently a bunch of a lot of people who should not be in Starbucks. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, this was him over the weekend explaining why he might run for president. Take a listen.
I am seriously thinking of running for president. I will run as a centrist independent outside of the two-party system. We're living at a most fragile time. Not only the fact that this president is not qualified to be the president, but the fact that both parties are consistently not doing what's necessary on behalf of the American people and aren't engaged every single day in revenge politics.
Why run as an independent? Your views have always aligned with the Democratic Party.
It's true. I've been a lifelong Democrat. I look at both parties. We see extremes on both sides. Well, we are sitting today with approximately $21.5 trillion of debt, which is a reckless example, not only of Republicans, but of Democrats as well, as a reckless failure of their constitutional responsibility.
Do you worry that you're going to siphon votes away from the Democrats and thereby ensure that President Trump has a second term?
I want to see the American people win. I want to see America win. I don't care if you're Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, Republican. Bring me your ideas, and I will be an independent person who will embrace those ideas because I am not in any way in bed with a party.
Okay, now, he's not in bed with a party, which means he can never be elected president. But he can draw a lot of votes away from the Democrats in a big, big way. Democrats now have another problem, too. This is a really interesting piece here. A new poll shows New Hampshire Democrats prefer a socialist over Hillary Clinton, who's thinking about running again, by the way. It also shows Trump losing big to Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Beto O'Rourke. All right? Now, I don't put any stock in polls. You know that. I do not. However, a poll released Sunday shows that state Democrats in New Hampshire think the 2016 nominee Hillary Clinton represents the party of the past. They need now either Elizabeth Warren or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is too young to run. According to an NH Journal poll, which surveyed 593 registered voters earlier this month, which means nothing, by the way, 55% of New Hampshire Democrats believe that Elizabeth Warren best represents the Democratic Party. Ocasio-Cortez came in second with 28%. Just 17% said that Clinton was the best representation of the current party. The fact that so many Democrats in New Hampshire see Senator Warren as an accurate reflection of their party isn't that surprising. But the fact that Hillary Clinton, an icon of the party for 30 years, chose a progressive activist newcomer like Representative Ocasio-Cortez is astonishing. It's not, though, astonishing. The party has gone so far to the left, and Hillary Clinton is very far to the left, too. But the problem is that there was a time when a lot of Democrats pretended like they were centrist. Joe Biden's got the same problem. Joe Biden used to be one of those guys who wanted to be tough on immigration, too. The open borders crowd of the Democratic Party, they're in charge now, kids. The Medicare for All open borders crowd, they're firmly in charge. And make no mistake about it, if it costs $1 trillion a day, whatever it takes, they're going to push for this. And they're not going to let up. They're not going to let up. Okay? And I'll tell you, as I often predict these things, and I'm usually right about these things, the Democrats are going to push each other further and further to the left, which is why we're going to cover this primary as we would like never before. And if you don't want to hear their voices and you don't want to hear their cuts, I'm telling you now, it's going to be a long year for you because you need to hear this nonsense. You really do. You need to hear. They're crazy. They're crazy. I'd like for you to hear this now. Adam Schiff, who's a little bit of a weasel. I'm sorry, he's a lot of a weasel. He was on ABC's This Week with unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. He's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He wants special counsel Robert Mueller to look at, and I've made this prediction before, of who Mueller's next target was going to be. And if not Mueller, then who the House Democrats' next target was going to be. I've made this prediction. I'm not wrong on these things. I'm not happy about being right, but take a listen.
Your colleague on the committee, Jackie Speier, Congresswoman Jackie Speier, told CNN that she believes that Donald Trump Jr., lied to your committee on at least two occasions. Do you agree?
Well, I'd like the special counsel to have access to Don Jr.'s testimony and determine whether it is evidence of false statements. I think, and I greatly appreciate the seriousness with which the special counsel takes lying to Congress. So I'll let Bob Mueller be the judge of that. But one of the first acts, if not the first act, of our committee will be to send all of these transcripts of all the witnesses to Bob Mueller. that he can consider whether additional perjury charges
are
warranted.
Are you confident that Robert Mueller and his team have not yet seen any of those transcripts?
No, I believe the special counsel has had access to the transcripts, but not for the purpose of use in a perjury prosecution. So that's what we want to make sure, that the special counsel has access to these transcripts and can use them for whatever purpose, including perjury prosecution or witness intimidation or obstruction of justice.
Yeah, you see, they're going to try to go after the president's kids and his family. That's their next strategy. If Mueller comes back with nothing, and Mueller's going to come back with nothing, I've told you this now, then it's not going to stop the Democrats. It's not going to stop Schiff and the others. They're not going to stop, because the hatred that's sweeping America has to come to an end. The hatred that's making people write things on restaurant receipts has to stop, has to come to an end one way or another. This is now CNN's Jake Tapper making, I believe, a gay joke, a homophobic joke, I think, towards Roger Stone. I'm not sure. I assume. It's hard to know. I don't know. But this is Jake Tapper with former Obama senior advisor Jen Psaki. Take a listen.
The truth is, no one's going to cry if Roger Stone goes to jail or when he goes to jail. But
he might like it.
But yeah, he might. Who knows?
Get it? Because he might get raped in the shower. Get it? A little prison rape joke. A little prison rape humor. Huh? Get it? The stuff they get away with at CNN is just amazing. It's amazing.
The truth is, no one's going to cry if Roger Stone goes to jail or when he goes to jail. But
he might like it.
But yeah, he might. Who knows?
How about last week with Chris Matthews and the, what's his name? Remember that clip?
Yes. With
was it Leroy?
Oh no, Lamar.
Lamar, yeah. Was it Lamar?
I think so.
That was. We should try to find that. Was
I can dig it out.
All right, let's dig it out. By the way, in response to Tom Brokaw, Julian Castro's brother, the lesser Castro's lesser Castro, he's very, very upset with him now. He's very upset. The lesser Castro's lesser Castro, Joaquin Castro, the twin brother of Julian Castro, ripped Tom Brokaw on Sunday for xenophobia and ignorance. He said, now, it's unfortunate to see xenophobia pass for elevated political commentary. There you go.
I have it.
This is what Chris Matthews said the other day.
Let me go to Jamal. I got to go to Jamal.
Jamal,
on this,
Jamal.
For obvious
Jamal.
Reasons. But yeah. I get the feeling that she's going to set up her headquarters in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Largely African-American town.
Yeah. I don't understand that.
I'll explain.
I don't understand why she's in Baltimore. She's from Oakland. So she should be in Oakland.
She wants to win the South Carolina primary. That's
yes,
what I do.
So put her headquarters in South Carolina. I think that she's got a lot of strengths here. She's got a bio. She's got a record. She's a prosecutor with a heart. She's done a lot to deal with keeping people out of recidivism.
Is she seen as African-American?
Is the organization that she puts...
Hey, listen, I'm talking to you.
She's seen as African-American. The facts
answer my question. When I'm talking, you answer me. All right? I'm trying to white-splain here. Let me go to Jamal for obvious reasons, because he's black. Get it?
Let me go to Jamal. I've got to go to Jamal on this for obvious reasons.
Because he's black. Get it? Everybody get it? Hey, let's go to Jake Tapper. Jake, make a gay prison joke. Go ahead, Jake.
The truth is, no one's going to cry if Roger Stone goes to jail or when he goes to jail. But
he might like it.
But he might. Who knows?
Hey, Jake, well done. Now let's go to Brokaw. Hey, Brokaw, let you mumble something together about brown kids. Go ahead. Mumble something about brown kids, if you would, Brokaw.
I'm trying to find him. Sorry.
That's all right. First, Brokaw's got a gargle anyway. It's all right. Hey, Brokaw, today, will you?
We'll come here and all be Democrats. Also, I hear when I push people a little harder, I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies. I mean, that's also a part of it. It's the intermarriage that is going on and the cultures that are conflicting with each other. I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. That's one of the things I've been saying for a long time.
Let me go back to Jamal. Jamal, forget it. You're black. You can't comment on that. All right, that's a little tour de force of the media right there for you. So Roger Stone was on with unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos over the weekend. And they were discussing the tactics used to take down Roger Stone. Now, I said, and I think most people agree, it was ridiculous how they took Roger Stone into custody. It's ridiculous. Of course, and this will shock you, unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos found that to all be very, very standard, the fact that they had the FBI in tactical gear, guns exposed, and dozens of vehicles, and silent sirens and whatnot. Cut three.
I must tell you, George, I think the way I was treated on Thursday is extraordinary. I think the American people need to hear about it. I'm 66 years old. I don't own a firearm. I have no prior criminal record. My passport has expired. The special counsel's office is well aware of the fact that I'm represented. The idea that a 29-member SWAT team in full tactical gear with assault weapons would surround my house, 17 vehicles in my front yard, including two armored vehicles, a helicopter overhead, amphibious vehicles in the back where my house backs onto a canal, and that I would open the door looking down the barrel of assault weapons, that I would be frog marched out front, barefooted and handcuffed when they simply contacted me. I think people need to know about that.
But as you know, it's pretty standard.
Roger, let me stop you and defend the tactics by Mueller here, if I could, Roger. Unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos here, Roger, if I could. It's all nice what you're saying, but I think you're a terrorist.
That's not standard at all. You were a flight risk. They were concerned you might tamper with evidence. They were concerned you might destroy evidence. So they did that. And even you, by your own testimony, by your own admission, said that the FBI agents were courteous. So let's get on.
Let me address that, if I may. First of all, I was released on a surety bond on my own signature, which is evidence that I was not a flight risk. And secondarily, I've been under investigation for 2 years. I've destroyed nothing. But if I were going to destroy evidence, wouldn't I have done it a long time ago? They could simply have called my lawyers and I would have turned myself
in. That's a question.
This was an expensive show of force to try to depict me as public enemy number one, the OG. It's an attempt to poison the jury pool. These are Gestapo tactics.
Let's get right to what...
Let's change the subject, Roger. That's why I'm here as unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. Let's go to Jake Tapper's prison rape joke, if we could. Cut one, please.
The truth is, no one's going to cry if Roger Stone goes to jail or when he goes to jail. But
he might like it.
But he might. Who knows?
Wasn't there outrage over the comment by one of the kids, it's not rape if you like it?
Yeah, I can't believe Jake Tapper said that.
A high school kid made that comment in D.C.
Right.
And, you know, it's not rape if you like it, which is a bad comment to make.
Yes.
And kids make stupid comments trying to be funny to their friends, and it's not a good comment. But then when a grown man makes it on CNN, you go, dumbass, you're not a dumb kid. You shouldn't make the same exact comment.
Right. He's a network anchor man.
Right.
I'm shocked by that. I had not heard that until you played it. So wow.
It's not prison rape if you like it.
The truth is, no one's going to cry if Roger Stone goes to jail or when he goes to jail. But
he might like it.
But he might. Who knows?
Oh my goodness.
You know.
Now I'm assuming. Look, if he had said, "Hey, remember," like he and his wife, remember they were on those sites, like looking for muscular people, or there was a switchy.
They were like swingers
or something.
Swap parties and whatnot. Yeah.
So I guess that's what he's referring to, because I was thinking, what's he saying?
I think he's saying he's going to like being raped in prison. Greg, how do you read it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, isn't that that's shocking, right?
Yeah.
I can't believe, like, this is the only show, is the only place I've heard this, and OMG. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I mean,
basically true.
Yeah, it is, you know. Okay.
Wow. That's awful. Did he apologize? You said he apologized? Jake Tapper apologized?
Tom Brokaw apologized. Brokaw, in what I believe is Tom Brokaw's long meandering tweets.
Which Tom Brokaw?
I wrote terrible.
I want brown grandbabies. Oh, I mean, that's also a part of it.
I feel terrible in part of my comments on Hispanics have landed some members of that proud culture. From my days of reporting on Cesar Chavez to documenting the many contributions of Hispanics in all parts of our culture, I've worked hard to knock down false stereotypes. My Twitter account failed me at the worst time. I'm sorry. Truly, this is like on and on and on and on with tweets. I never meant to say that. I know you still don't want brown babies, brown little babies.
But at least, I mean, he's had a distinguished career. He's not known for something. He's going on 80.
My Twitter portal is whack, oh, yo. Golly. I've been trying to have to say. Oh, no. We don't want brown babies. brown. brown.
It's embarrassing.
What is brown? What can brown do for you? Is my question.
This is all just.
Some people don't even want brown UPS men on their yard. They'll shoot them, and they will. Some people won't let them deliver packages. They'll say, "Get that brown guy off my yard with a brown truck and the packages." Well, there you go.
They've lost their minds.
Fine day for them all, really, truly.
Oh, my goodness.
I one time saw somebody write on a... I don't tip brown servers.
Oh, no.
I don't leave tips for brown servers. All right, Greg, let's do it. It's a good way to start the week,
crazy
though, right?
Land.
It's a good way
it's
to start the week.
Land.
I mean, you can't get better than this.
Tom Brokaw's Nightly News. I love it.
Who won Twitter?
I'm going to give it to Bob Giles. Bob Giles says, "Rich, are you sure he was not saying no brown gravy? Some like the light creamy gravy on their chicken.
Oh. Like, well, they don't want brown gravy gone.
I don't want brown gravy. Babies.
When they go out to eat. I'm trying to study people at Cracker Barrel.
No.
They don't want brown gravy. I'm trying to understand them. Thank you, Flemington Furs, for sponsoring Who Won Twitter. Flemington Furs is what fabulous feels like.
Racioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.